Just to clarify, this show is now called White to See Radio. It used to be called R3 with JH, and then it was Half Past Presents R3 with JH. I didn't like those names, so I went back to White to See Radio, which was the name of my original podcast back from 09 with my wife, which then became Half Past Adventures. So that show is no longer White to See Radio, but the show is now White to See Radio. You're going to hear me call it R3 with JH, you're going to hear me call it Half Past Presents R3, but really the show is White to See Radio, and you're going to hear this intro for a long time because I recorded like 35 episodes. Enjoy.
John, you're a dork.
It's time for another R3 episode. This one is about the Ions Anthology. It's the book that I put out back in March, that I kickstarted back in March or February, March time. I had launched R3 with JH originally with Nerd Talk Club's network back then, in February something, I don't know. But this one was up when I was doing the Kickstarter for that, so you hear me talk about the Kickstarter and stuff like that, but I figured I'd play it here, obviously, because I'm playing all the old R3 episodes for you. This is me talking about the Ions Anthology back when it was still on Kickstarter.
Monsters are everywhere. They always have been. They lurk, hidden in every shadow. Behind every dark thought, they are probably in your closet, possessing your friends. And they're almost certainly creeping behind you now. They are most often undetectable. And when they're not, it's too late. Throughout time, these monsters have feasted on society, both physically and metaphysically. The chaos they bring fuels a great dark spirit that seeks to end the world with pain and torment. The Ions are our only hope. The Ions family has been cursed since before recorded history to detect the presence of these monsters. It is their bound duty to stop these creatures from destroying humanity through any means necessary, be it by sword, spell, or other. Though the Ions can feel when the creatures are in close proximity, the monsters themselves are also drawn toward the family. But not everything is as it seems. And although the war between the monsters and the Ions has waged for centuries, the black and white battle lines have grayed over the years. Not all monsters may be considered evil. Not all Ions are as righteous as one would think. These are the tales of the Ions family. Visit IonsAnthology.com to find out more.
All right, kiddies, we're back with another Halloween episode of In the Car with John. Wait, wrong show. There's not a show called that. R3 with JH. Again, may change that name. I think I said that before. Or I'll say it in the future, because I don't know when this episode's going to air. But this is a very, very special episode for you, one I've been looking forward to doing and not... Well, actually, you know what? I can't say that I've been looking forward to doing this episode because I haven't had any plans to do this episode until I started this show. But in December, I started this show with the idea of ranting about certain things here and there and rambling on this show. It's become more than that. It's become fun. It's become a venting episode. Not episode, venting show, where I can just talk about whatever I want. And today's special to me because I want to talk to you about my book. I have a book that I've mentioned before that is on Kickstarter. When this airs, it'll be on Kickstarter this month. If you're listening to this in the future, after this month, then it'll be on Kickstarter in February of 2019. The book is called The Ions Anthology. Now, it's a book that I've been working on for, God, at least the last 2 years. It's a labor of love. It's something that's been incredibly difficult to piece together and to put together, to find the right people to work with, and I think I've done that. It's a horror book. It's a horror comic book, and I'm going to do my best in this special episode about The Ions Anthology to kind of tell you what it is. Now, in my comic career, I've done some serious stuff, but for the most part of my comic career, mostly with webcomics, I was known as the dick and fart joke guy. Like I used to describe myself or my comics as, they're like a Kevin Smith film, right? They're just a bunch of dick and fart jokes with some intellectual shit thrown in there. I like to laugh. I like to make people laugh. I like to tell jokes and stuff. And so a lot of my books that are out there that you can get are based on, you know, jokes and humor. So when people heard that I was doing a horror novel, not novel, a horror comic book, you know, they were like, oh, from a joke guy, but well, you know, I think it works because I've written several things that are not just jokes before, and this, it will be the first time I've ever published, you know, a big book that I've worked on that's not jokes. I've had other stories published in other books that were serious, but this one I think takes the cake. Now, the Ions Anthology, what is it? So we have a really fancy, stancy, like, write-up of what the Ions Anthology is, but I'm driving, as I always do on this show, so I can't quite read it to you because I'm in the car. So I'll do my best to describe what this book's about off the top of my head. Essentially, there is a family called the Ines. That is their last name. That is their surname. And they, from some unbeknownst to them reason that happened before recorded history, they have this affinity to the supernatural, to monsters, to the things that go bump in the night. They are attracted to them. The monsters are attracted to the Ines. The Ines have an awareness of the supernatural elements around them, and the monsters of the world are drawn to this family. They are a power source, or they are, I don't know if they're a power source, but they are something the monsters are aware of. Throughout time, certain members of the Ines family have been known as hunters. Monster hunters have been known as complacent, compassionate towards monster hunters. Some just don't give a care, don't give a shit. They just are, I don't want to do it, and they don't care. Same with the monsters. Throughout time, monsters, not all monsters are evil. Not all monsters' intentions are evil. So the book that you can go back on Kickstarter by going to IonsAnthology.com and clicking on the Kickstarter link, or just going to Kickstarter and searching for Ions Anthology, or in the show notes of this show or on any of my social media, searching for Ions Anthology, or you can go back it and find more about it. It's this book tells short stories throughout time from the Ines lineage and what has happened. I created the universe, I created the monsters, I created the people, then I brought in other creative people to help me tell this story, because this, I wanted it to be the best that it could possibly be, and I love to collaborate, I love to work with people, so I decided, why not bring in a bunch of writers and artists and colorists and inkers and letterers and editors and make this the best it could possibly be. So what I did is I first hired a bunch of writers and paid them out, got stories, worked with each writer to make sure their story fit into the Ines world, fit into the plethora of characters that we were working with. I had the writers pick a time period they wanted to work with, pick a, you know, characters they wanted to work with, and help them make sure that what they developed fit into the world. And then I let the writers go free. I told, hey, you know, these characters, I've created their names, I've created their birthdays, I've created their death days, so we know how long they live and the time periods that they interact with. But I want you to, as the writer, have the freedom to flesh out these characters and kind of create their personalities. Now, I did work with some of them on, like, you know, okay, this character should be kind of like this, because there are characters that, you know, are related to or span across other stories in the book. But I left a lot of the fleshing out of the characters up to the writers to make it easier for them and to give them more freedom to express their characters the way they wanted to, and the monsters the way they wanted to. Now, after I had all the stories, and I had a lot, I mean, originally I had about 200 and some different writers contact me about being in this book, which is freaking awesome. And I whittled it down to about 25. And then from that 25, I got about 20 stories. And then at this point now, I've hired on more writers since the initial run. I think I have about 30 stories now, something like that. Maybe 25, 30 stories altogether. So then the original concept was for me is I was going to draw all the stories myself. I was going to pencil, ink, and color every single story. But after about a year and me having not a good time doing that, I decided, you know what, let's instead of just being a big piece just with me doing all the art, let's tell the best stories we can. Let's get some artists in here that I like. Let's get some people who have good work and see if we can't hurry this up to get the book done, as well as bring in some other creative voices to help tell stories and draw things, maybe in ways that I wouldn't have thought about. And boy, did they ever. We brought in some writers or some artists from all across the world, and we have writers from all across the world to draw these stories. Now, at one point I decided, you know what, I'm in over my head. This is too much. I need help. So my good friend Casey, I decided to talk to him and say, hey, Casey, I know you've done it before, but you're a writer and you're a creative guy. Would you be interested in becoming the editor or a co-editor on the Ines Anthology with me and help me see this book through to publication? And he was like, absolutely, I'd love to. Because he was already trying to get a story into the book. And that, you know, I mean, if you come on as editor, that kind of guarantees you get a story in the book, right? Because you can't say no to the editor because he's the editor. So I brought Casey on to help me kind of bring focus into this and just get this thing done. So with his help, we started to pair up artists with writers or a pair of artists with scripts. And then I worked with the artists to make sure the scripts that they worked from and the art they drew matched up with what it needed to be. And, you know, we had some great artists come on. David Hutajulu came on from Indonesia. We had Daniel Biano, who's down in South America. And, you know, we've got Scott Godleski, who's an amazing professional artist, worked on Copperhead and Superman and Batwoman and Green Lantern, you know, great stuff. We've got Clayton Holyfield drawing a story. He does Sanguin, who you've heard me talk to him on the Swell Country podcast. He's amazing. I love him. You know, we've got myself. I drew a story in this, obviously. And then we've got the super talented and way underrated Rick Bugbee, who actually has two stories he drew in the first book. And he'll even have a story drawn that he did in the second book. This guy is amazing. I love working with him. I hope to someday do a full book with just him and me. But, you know, I've got him doing a story in the first book. And, you know, I've got some amazing writers in the first book. I've got Casey Allen telling a story. I've got myself. I wrote a couple stories. I've got Michael Tanner, who is one of the authors of one of the writers behind Junior Reyes' Apocalypse, Greg Smith, who Greg Smith has a story which will be in book two. So look forward to that. You know, I have Adam Atkinson, who wrote Psychosis, the comic book. It has a story in this book, you know. And Rick Bugbee draws two stories that I wrote, one called Some Days and one called Camelot's Gift. Both are awesome. They kind of continue off each other. Both are awesome. I mean, by that, I mean, like I'm saying, oh, my stories that I wrote, they're awesome. I mean, the art that Rick drew in is breathtaking and amazing. We have DC Alonso, who came in and did colors for one of the stories, Some Days, that Rick drew and that I wrote. We've got, you know, Casey Allen telling a story about a golem called the Solo Heart. We have, what else we have? We have The Crossed Path by Joseph S. Pell from England. He wrote this amazing story that was drawn beautifully. And we've got, let's see, who else do we got in the book? I'm going to forget people and I apologize. We got Nikki Powers doing the letters on most of the stories. Nikki is amazing. And I love her as a letterist. She's insanely talented. David Hutajulu draws, came from Indonesia. He drew the story from Adam Atkinson called The Story of Ben Ines, which I'm super excited for you to read because I think that the way it came out, it was captured really well. You know, I'm coloring that one too, so it'll be great. Scott Godleski drew a story by the one and only, the super talented Kenrick Regan. Kenrick Regan, if you don't know, Kenrick is my co-host over on Spoiler Country. He's also my wife's uncle, so my uncle too. He's an amazing friend of mine. Him and I are like best friends. And I was super proud of the fact that I was able to convince him to write a story and then actually, you know, have his first published comic book work be in my book with Scott Godleski drawing it and then myself coloring it. I'm honored to have Kenrick's story in there. Kenrick's great. The book itself is going to have some cool stuff in it, cool twists and turns. Now, it is a book of short stories, so each little story is self-contained, but each story tells a larger story within the universe. So if you read the book, you know, story by story, you know, you can read any story you want, any order, and it'll make sense, right? It makes sense for that character. But if you read the whole book and by itself, as a whole thing, is a larger story there as well. Now, this is book one. There are four books planned, and all four books together will tell one giant story, which has been a very difficult thing to make work, but I think we're going to nail it. So I'm pretty excited about that. Now, why am I doing this? Why did I want to do Ines Anthology? That's a great question, John. I'm glad you asked that. Well, sure. You know, I like to ask the hard questions. So why? Well, I wanted to tell this Ines Anthology series because I love drawing monsters. I've always loved drawing monsters and demons and just crazy, gross things. Ever since I was a kid. I mean, if you look at some of my drawings as a kid, they're pretty effed up. And I wonder why my parents, maybe they didn't see them, didn't, like, you know, get me checked out, because I used to draw on some gross, you know, some demented shit. And even the songs I wrote, the lyrics to the songs, I wrote a song once called I Lie Here Because I Am Dead. And it was, I mean, the lyrics were I Lie Here Because I Am Dead. I was killed by a little man. Little man's name was Dan. Yeah, it was silly. It was like 15, but it was I wrote some songs that were pretty violent and pretty sad. So I'm surprised my parents never had me committed, but that's probably because I didn't know. Anyways, I wanted to do this because I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to do something that wasn't a humor-based series. I wanted to stretch my serious muscles. Now, that being said, I've written a lot of serious tone stuff or horror stuff or suspenseful, that's the word, suspenseful stuff, thriller stuff. I just never published it or did anything with that because honestly, if someone doesn't like your joke comic, whatever, it's a joke, jokes don't land anywhere. But if you release something that's serious and people, you know, fucking come at you and hate you for it or start making fun of it, you know, I'm a sensitive guy, and that hurts, man. Be nice. So I wanted to make myself do something that I wanted to do, which was to get into serious comics, get into where I could, you know, I mean, there's still, you can still be jokes in there, obviously, but get into where I could tell stories and challenge myself in the art as well. Because, you know, I'm a writer, I'm an artist, I'm an inker, I'm a penciler, I'm a colorist. I do letters sometimes, but I don't consider lettering being one of my good ones. Oh, why? Thank you, car. You'll hear the car in the background talking to me, telling me where to go, because I'm driving to Bellevue to meet my wife for some drinks and some fun. You know, I wanted to prove to myself and to the people that I could tell and draw serious stuff and tell a good story, not just, you know, tell stupid one-off gross jokes, inappropriate jokes. That's why I did this. Why did I change? I kind of answered this earlier, but why did I change from myself drawing everything to myself helping people and working on it and having other people come with me? I came to the realization that doing the whole book by myself was going to be a nightmare, and it was going to take forever. It was going to take me years, and I wanted this book out. I wanted this book out so bad that I decided that, you know, what's best for the book is for me not to jar everything. It's for me to work with people to tell the best stories and to have the art stand for itself. And now, I'm not specifically doing, you know, inks, colors, letters, pencils, writing something on every single story in the books. And that's fine. That was my original thought, was, oh, I'll do one of the things in each story. But really, I have a hand in each story, and that's fine enough. That's good enough for me. I'm a control freak. You can't tell. When it comes to stories, I want to control every aspect. I want to make sure that it all works. I mean, I want to work and collaborate with people, but I want to be the one in charge. But when it comes to this, I decided that I need to let off a little bit. And it's part of why I brought Casey in, to make sure that I kept myself on track and got this through. And with Casey's help and with Kenrick's encouragement, Kenrick has been the biggest cheerleader for this book since I first told him about it 2 years ago. And with their help, we're finally seeing the fruition of that in the first book up on Kickstarter. And I am super excited for you to go check it out. What do you get when you go Kickstarter? Let's talk about some rewards. Let's talk about some fun stuff here. When you back the Kickstarter, you not only help fund the book. Now, keep in mind, all the creatives in the book have been paid already. I've already paid everybody out of pocket. So the Kickstarter is not to make money for the creatives. They've already all been paid. The Kickstarter is to pay for the printing of the book, to get copies in hands, to let people who want the book enjoy it. That way we can have a lower funding goal because everybody's already been paid, and get the book out to people who want to read it. So, you know, when you back the book, you're helping back it to be printed. Now, obviously, the Kickstarter funding goal is set so I can, one, get the book in your hands so you can go buy the copy and read it yourself and have a copy. Also, so I can have extra copies that I can go to conventions and sell copies to people at shows and spread the book out there so we can do more books and I can bring on more indie creators. Because if you haven't noticed, if you check out my show, Spoiler Country, we have a sub show on there called the Kickstarter Signal Boost, where once a month, I highlight and spot indie creators and help them sell their books. So I'm a big advocate for indie comics, and it's why I make them and love them, and I will always support them no matter what I do. Even if my book flops for some reason, even if Ein's Anthology is a flop and nobody likes it and it doesn't sell, I will still be out there supporting other people's work, and I will support other people's work to the end of my times. But so you go to Kickstarter and you go to find Ein's Anthology and you find the link down below or anywhere on my social media on Y2CL or anything. The Ein's Anthology Facebook page, the Ein's Anthology Instagram page, or Twitter page, whatever, or Ein'sAnthology.com. You go there, what do you get? Well, so we've got, you can buy it, you can just give us money, and with no reward, that's cool. I mean, thank you. I'll give you a high five when I see you. You can get a PDF copy, which is good. You know, if you want to just read it digitally, you can get it for a little bit cheaper. You can get the PDF copy. If you want to get the physical book, you can get, you know, the book is going to be $24 for a 64 page prestige format square bound book with high quality color printed in the USA. I partnered up with Kraken Print to make sure all of the books are high quality and very well done and beautiful. Kraken does an amazing job in their printing, and they have US based printing. So it's all, everything's manufactured and assembled and everything within the US right here, which is pretty important to me. And you know, their square bounds are beautiful, beautiful books. So I partnered with Kraken to do that. And, you know, for $20, which is the price of the book, you'll get a physical copy of the Ein's Anthology in soft cover, and it'll blow your mind. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful book. Now, you can also get things like original art. There's going to be a sketch cover version, so I've got a couple set aside in the printing costs to get sketch covers to where I can, you know, I'll draw or paint a picture on the front of the book of one of the monsters for you and ship it off to you so you have that, because who doesn't like a sketch cover? Sketch covers are amazing. I believe the price point on that is 40. Is it either 40 or 50? You know, if you hear 40 or 50, something like that, for a hand-colored, hand-drawn sketch cover of the Ions Anthology, which is, you know, pretty cool. And then we've got things like we're going to have a sticker set. We're going to have a print set. There'll be a print set to go with the book. So you can, if you back it early, you know, if there's an early backer. So if you back in the first, I think it's 24 hours or 48 hours, you automatically get the print set added to your charge. And then there'll be in that print set will be an exclusive print that's only available for early backers. And then later there'll be another option to actually buy the print set, which won't include that early backer print set. Now, what's also cool is we're going to have some original art, original pages from the book. So you can actually, if you want original art from some of these amazing artists, or maybe you want a page that I drew, I don't know. But I have some pages from Rick Bugbee and Clayton Hollyfield, some amazing art. We can get art from the Missionary Soup story that I drew with that David Thomas from over from England wrote, from Wales. It's Welsh, I think. If I'm missing that wrong, David, I'm sorry. I believe you're from Wales. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. So that was my drive and talk. You'll have original art. There'll probably be some other stuff. I haven't quite rounded out all of the... I'm recording this early from February, so I mean, I haven't quite figured out all of the rewards. I want to do an enamel pin if I can. I'm probably not going to do any variant covers because I don't like variant covers myself, and I don't see a point. I would much rather get you the book and not have you have to buy multiple covers to get them all. So... we'll probably have just the main cover and the sketch cover, which would be fun. There might be a Kickstarter exclusive something. And that's the print probably. You know, I'm kind of rambling here because we haven't finalized the Kickstarter yet because it's still, right now I'm recording this in the middle of January, and this is going to go up in the, in February when the book launches. So you can also we're thinking about doing like a t-shirt. We're going to have some other cool stuff. There will probably be some ridiculous stuff as well because I like to do fun stuff. On my last two Kickstarters, I did a thing called the McMillan, which was basically if you were local to me, lived in the Seattle area, we would meet up for a pizza party and hang out and write and draw comics together or read comics or talk about whatever. Those are pretty successful. I might do something like that, call the McMillan again. But again, for that, you'd have to be in the Seattle area. Or I could do it like at a con. You know, I could make it to where it's like, you know, hang out for a pizza party at Emerald City Comic Con or at San Diego Comic Con. That might be good. Maybe we'll see. Maybe that's a good idea. You know, I should probably have figured out what my rewards were before I did this episode, and so I could actually tell you them all. But this gives you an idea, right? And maybe some of these are there, maybe some of them are not. Maybe you hear this and like, oh man, I really want that McMillan party at San Diego Comic Con. He should do that, and I didn't have it up there. And you can message me and say, hey, you should do this. I'll back it. I'm like, okay, I'll add it. You know, the whole goal is to make this book funded and get it out there, get it printed in people's hands, and share the love of these amazing stories. I am so proud of the people that I worked with on this book. I'm so proud of everybody involved and Casey and all the writers of getting this silly idea of mine to fruition and making it work. And I really hope that if you do go and purchase the book, that you read it and you love it as much as I've loved putting it together, and you tell me. And it's going to be good, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. Sorry, I had to do it. That was a really dumb laugh. My throat, I need to drink something and some water. I don't have any water in the car, and my throat's kind of going out. Yeah, man, I think that's about does it for this show. I really hope you enjoyed hearing me ramble about Ions Anthology. You're going to hear a lot about Ions Anthology in the month of February. I've scheduled a ton of interviews on podcasts all around the globe, and I'm trying to get as much coverage of this Kickstarter as I possibly can. So if you get over inundated with Ion stuff on various things you listen to, I apologize in advance, but really it just means you should go back to the book because so many people love it and want to support it. You should do it too. So thank you so much for listening. This is John. I'm going to sign out for now. Again, IonsAnthology.com, Kickstarter, search for Ions, click the links, find the damn link to the Kickstarter, go back it at the book, pick up the book, $20, get an amazing 64-page, square-bound, beautiful, beautiful book from Kraken Print. They're the printers. And pay, you give more if you want to. If you want the higher rewards, please, by all means, do it. Thank you so much. Love you, boo. You can hit me up on Twitter, Y2CL, Instagram, Y2CL. Oh, Ian's Anthology on Twitter, Ian's Anthology on Instagram as well. And hit up the website, iansanthology.com. I can't talk. I'm slurring my words. I have not been drinking, I promise. iansanthology.com. You can check out my website, y2cl.net, to see artwork and whatever bullshit I post there. I will tell you to go check out my other podcast, Spoiler Country, at scpod.net. And then my other podcast, Haphazard Adventures, that I do with my wife, over at it's y2cl.net/haphadpod, or just search for Haphazard Adventures anywhere, or haphadpod.podbean.com will be the way you ought to get there. Thank you so much. Love you guys. Bye.